cause I can stand to fly, and I'm not that naive. I'm just trying to find the better part of me. I'm more than a bird, I'm more than a plane, I'm more than a pretty face beside a train. It's not easy to be Apollo.
Welcome to Breakfast from Kona. My name is Bob Babbitt. His name is Paul Huddle. We are presented by Active. That's hashtag inspired to race. And we're sponsored by Timex, Rudy Project, GoPro, MPA Graphics, Lava Magazine, and Babbittville Radio. Our next guest, the 8-time Olympic medalist, Mr. Apollo Ono. How about a round of applause from our huge studio audience?
I love it. I'm excited to be here.
It's so cool to have you here.
Oh, it's this, the energy on this island is epic.
Is it unbelievable?
Epic. It's unbelievable.
So it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, doing a little track workout up in LA and for Chocolate Milk. Mm-hmm. And you're working out with Dr. Andy Baldwin. I gave you a copy of the Iron Man book, just sort of as a lark, going, hey, see you one day in Kona.
No, you wrote that in there.
I did.
Yeah, you gave me the book that you wrote.
Yeah.
And on the inside, Bob signs it and he says, I'll see you in Kona. And
I was like, so that was the curse.
The time he gave it to me, I just laughed. I was like, you will never see me in Kona except for a drink in my hand.
Right. Yeah, because you were planning to do you were running a marathon.
Yeah.
That was it. You were training a marathon, and that was a stretch. Because when you
that
do
was a
it,
stretch. And after, after, I was like, I'm definitely not going to do the Ironman. I'm not going to do the marathon.
That was plenty. So when you're doing the races you're doing, what's the longest race?
The longest race is about 2 hours and 15 seconds. Or 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
2:15, yeah.
2 minutes and 15.
2 minutes and 15 seconds. So there's not much of a transition.
But my specialty was the 40-second minute and a half, minute 20 second. That was my specialty.
So this was pretty easy transition then, going from 40
it
seconds
was seamless.
To 9 hours.
Completely seamless.
9 hour or so race.
I went from, it's completely seamless.
No big deal.
Yeah.
How tough was it?
It's still tough. I'm not going to lie to you. And I have the best, I got the best coach in the entire business, in the industry.
8-time Ironman World
not
Champion, Paul Nibby Frazier.
But I'm glad you think that. That's nice to say that.
Thank you for your honesty, Paul. Very nice. It's been a huge transition and a huge, it's been a struggle. I don't have a problem dialing it back. I just have no idea how to gauge my energy levels because I'm so used to depleting all ATP, all energy in such a small amount of time.
Right.
And now I have to say, okay, there's different steps. it's just different.
I have to pace myself.
I have to think.
You have to think, right? You're thinking about nutrition rather than just going.
Yeah. You have to think. That's an issue.
It is an issue, right?
When thinking you're out there, and nutrition. It's so hot. Yeah.
What was the biggest shock in your first triathlon?
My first triathlon, I did a half Ironman in Boise.
Yeah. Way to start off with an easy distance.
Yeah, I'd just jump right in there.
Sub 5, by the way.
Did sub 5.
Yeah.
Which I had no idea what that meant, but I just know that Paula was like, you better move. If you go over 5, I'm not talking to you. Basically. Wow, this could end early.
This could end the beautiful relationship.
Yeah. I don't even remember. It was so painful. I went too hard on the swim. I went too hard on the bike. And then I got to the run, and I was at mile 2. And we had to do two. It was basically, we did 2 of the same loop.
Yeah.
So you were either on mile 2 or, you were basically on significantly a higher.
Mile 8, somewhere in there.
So I ran 2, and I was like, there's no way this is 2. This has got to be
5.
This has got to be 5, 6 miles. This is wrong. I run 3. I'm at around mile 3. And this woman comes along next to me, and I'm having a conversation with her. I'm like, how old are you? And she tells me how old she is. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, I better pick this thing up. I couldn't believe how fatigued I was. I wanted to go faster. People were blowing by me. Everybody who I passed on the bike, I saw them on the run. Yeah. So there's absolutely nothing I could do about it. I mean, I had nothing left. And I was just kind of just struggling to flog myself across the finish line. But I can tell you the last 2 miles, I got like some second wind. And it was, it was pretty amazing.
It's called smelling the barn.
Yeah, yeah.
You were towards the end. Yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
So you swam when you're younger, correct?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I stopped when I was 12.
You stopped when you're 12. But that comes back fairly.
It does.
Fairly quickly. Yeah. How important was that, having that? Because having the fact you had a swimming background, and as a skater... Skaters can ride a bike. Yeah, you've got the quads to be able to do that. Yep. So having sort of two out of three must have felt pretty good.
I'm much more comfortable, definitely. I think because I know how to swim.
Right.
No one has taught me how to swim since I was 12. I've been out of the pool, out of the water since then. I've never swam in open water ocean, really.
So how was that?
I mean, here, it's amazing. I don't
it's
know if
like
you've ever,
an aquarium.
People have not been here. It's the most incredible experience. You can see all the way down to the ocean floor, all the way out. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I just never had, thousands of people trying to climb over top of me. So we'll see how that goes.
But you like that close contact stuff.
It shouldn't be too
short
bad.
Short track, right?
You've seen
a little elbow action.
Yeah.
You just use the same elbows here.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I guess we'll see what happens. And then the bike, I'm used to being in that crunched, kind of hovered over position. Although my sport's much more lateral. This is kind of more, up and down. So.
Right.
And the run, I can't really, there's nothing I can say about that.
It's new.
You just get through it.
It's not new because we used to do sprints and running, and I used to run, but never for this distance. And never after doing all of this. It's insanity.
It is.
So,
it's pure insanity.
I remember seeing you, I can't remember, I think it was February, March, when you first started this program. And you didn't look particularly fit to me at that point.
Thank you, Paul.
But, I mean, you're an athlete, but you still had your quads and everything. But I'm like, but seeing you this morning, I was like, whoa, dude's changed. And obviously, Paul and everyone else has been able to see you over the last 6 months and probably hasn't noticed that much of a difference. But how has it felt to you? What have been the biggest differences? Obviously, the physical difference is obvious, but
right.
how has it been for you just in terms of swim, bike, run? Is it easier? Do you have a sense of pacing now? Do you know what you're in for on Saturday? I mean, better sense of it all?
A lot of questions. So when we first met and I first did my first bike test, I wasn't in great shape. I think the common misconception was that, hey, you're an 8-time Olympic medalist.
Yeah.
You're in phenomenal shape. I was retired for 4 years.
Yeah.
I didn't really do anything. I ran the marathon, but even then I wasn't in great shape. Right. I kind of muscled through it.
You just wanted to get through that thing.
I was doing all different types of CrossFit. I was doing upper body training. I was basically just lifting with no cardio. And because I'm a natural sprinter, that's what we're just used to, right?
Sure.
And we spend all of our entire lives kind of walking around as speed skaters looking like small T-Rexes. And as soon as we retire, right? As soon as we retire, we're like, well, I got to get rid of that. I got to put something on these arms so I can balance out my body and actually buy a pair of jeans that fits.
Exactly.
Right? And so I tried to transfer all this weight from down below up top. And then I started traveling for business. I was approximately 22, 25 pounds heavier than when I raced in Vancouver in 2010. So the process had to change dramatically, and the swim, bike, run was, I'm much more comfortable. I definitely have a sense of pacing. Paul has been instrumental in kind of letting me know how to adjust every mile. Obviously I have a great team and partnership, with my friends at Milk and a lot of support staff. And so everything's been fantastic, but it's more internally, I think I've grown. And this is my haven. This is my, where I like to be, even though this is not my sport.
Right.
I'm an athlete by heart. I'm an athlete by nature. And so coming back to, I think, the basics of who I was and where I was has been so incredibly refreshing, inspiring, and makes me wonder why I ever let myself get away from that, because that's who I am at the core.
Right.
So this to me, I'm doing this for a multitude of different reasons, but one of them is because I just needed this in my life. I needed that challenge. I needed something to kind of bring me back to who I am at my root.
Right. A lot of times you look at something like this as a bucket list. Okay, I'm going to do this and cross it off the list.
For sure.
Other people, I think that someone getting immersed in this, you realize this is a pretty good lifestyle. Swimming, cycling, running. Even if you have the swimming background, you love riding a bike. Maybe you won't run as much. But is this something that will become part of a Polo owner moving forward?
I don't see how I can't be a part of it.
Yeah.
It seems so now. I mean, I was joking with Paul the other day, and I was like, what am I going to do in 2 weeks and wake up and not have this program from Paul and Newby Fraser, right?
Sitting on my computer.
Computer saying what I'm going to do for the week. I mean, so I kind of like that weird structure. I like having that schedule and
Having a coach.
Yeah,
some of you used to.
And the community of triathlon and Ironman is pretty spectacular.
It really is.
I was going to ask you that. How's the reception been?
It's been phenomenal. I had no idea just how awesome these individuals are. The reality is not everybody's a pro in this sport. And so most people have full-time jobs. They have kids.
Yep.
and they
job.
Still they still managed to train for this insane event. And so that to me was like, I can do this thing. I know I can do this thing. These people can do it. There's athletes out there who are disabled.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible, right? So there's so many different inspirational things. And yes, will I do another Ironman? I don't know.
No, but
I don't know. But I know
swim,
that
swim bike run would be fine.
Swim bike
life.
Run, absolutely. It's been pretty life changing.
One of the stats or one of the numbers that I heard you talk about was the amount of force on your legs in a turn at full tilt in short track speed skating. Can you tell us how much weight or how much force is on one leg when you're...
Sure. I think that it's around 3 G's of force on one leg every corner.
And weight-wise, I heard someone...
So it's like around 300... It's like doing a repeated 375-pound one-legged squat over and over again in every corner on each leg.
So the training, as Babbitt alluded to and as you talked about, that short explosive power, going from that to this endurance, what are the guys who you trained with? I mean, I'm sure you talked to some of them. They're like, you're doing what? I mean, do you get a lot of that? Or is anyone going, really? Is it cool? Should I try it?
I've had a kind of all of those responses. I think the first one, number one, people in reality, they have no concept of what it's like to train for an Ironman because it's... Unless you go through it, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. I was joking around. A lot of my friends are track cyclists, right? And so these guys are, you know, maximum amount of power into the pedals for very short duration of time. Mm-hmm. And I explain to them, you know, I'll be like, oh, they'll text me, like, what are you doing today? Well, I got a 100-mile bike ride followed by an hour and 15-minute transition run. And they're like, excuse me?
What is that?
Number one, what's a transition run? Number two, what's a 100-mile bike ride? You know? Is that over 7 days?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're the type of person who likes to challenge himself, you know, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Ironman. So once you finish this, will you have any idea what you want to do next?
I do. It's not set in stone, but for me, as long as I'm always learning, I'm trying new things. I love it. To me, that's life, right? Is whether you're attempting a new goal at something specific you've already done, or you're learning a new technique, or you're learning a new sport, business, whatever. I'm always trying to learn. So it's that's what is exciting to me.
So what is next after this?
I don't know. We'll see.
See what someone's got to appeal to.
We'll see.
Appeal
to you.
Told you would have to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you look ahead to Saturday afternoon sometime, mm-hmm. I mean, do you go into this with, hey, this is the time I want to do, or is it, hey, I just want to enjoy every second of this. I want to feel what this event is all about. I've read about it. I've seen it. I want to immerse myself in it, and then whatever I do, and get as long as I get across the finish line, that's good enough.
Well, I think it's going to be a hybrid of both.
Okay.
I mean, I want, bottom line, I want to do as well as I possibly can.
Right.
But at the same time, to me, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I mean, I'm humbled and blessed to have a slot to compete in this coveted event.
Yes.
A lot of people don't, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've had this, and I'm so humbled and extremely excited to be here. So I don't want to just be focused like this the whole time, you know, and not be able to kind of take in this incredible energy that is the kind of, you know, the Kona Ironman World Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a hybrid of both, in all honesty. Yeah, yeah, it is.
So we've had some athletes from other sports compete here at Hawaii, and the NFL players in particular come back to memory. We had Butch Johnson from the Cowboys, Daryl Haley from the Patriots, and Hines Ward, obviously, who just competed. And I think across the board, all of them said, I wish I had known some of the things that this sport has taught me that I didn't know back in my NFL days. Have you had any of that? Do you feel like any of the stuff that you've gained in training or otherwise would have helped you in your speed skating career?
Yes, in a nutshell, so many things. I think the precision, the science, the mental strength and fortitude, I mean, all these different elements from physical to spiritual to emotional to, you know, the science side, all these elements have been fine-tuned in this sport for so long. And in my sport, we had access to that, but we didn't really take advantage, I think, to that ability. Plus, I mean, just working with Paula, she literally could have coached me for short track. I mean, that's how good of a coach.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, all that she doesn't know the sport, she doesn't know the technique. From a pure attribute standpoint, learning to train certain attributes in the body, she could probably write a program for me that was pretty damn good.
I saw her on speed skates, by the way.
She
didn't look really comfortable.
Yeah, she's a little choppy, a little stiff.
Yeah.
So, but light on her feet at the same time.
The fact that you've been on the biggest stage in the world in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Do you get nervous before something like this? Even it's a little bit out of your comfort zone, but you get nervous going into Saturday.
A little bit of nervous.
It's just,
yeah. Yeah, but I like that. I think that means that I'm ready.
You're alive.
If you're, I mean, if I'm not nervous, to me, that there's something wrong. I don't want to go into a race flat. You know,
Have you been down to Digme Beach in the last couple of days?
I have.
Have you seen the bodies down there?
I have.
Does it freak you out?
No, it doesn't freak me out, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, you have like some of the most fit people. You have the most fit people on the planet. In a centralized location from all over the world.
Right.
And so I hear different languages. It's actually pretty cool. So,
yeah. How tough has this been? Because I know you travel a ton.
Yeah.
You go to Asia a ton.
Yeah.
Balancing, getting in your training while you're traveling.
It's been very hard. I mean, my schedule is
crazy.
Is up and down.
Yeah.
You know, every night I get different amount of hours of sleep. I'm not on a set schedule. So it's been difficult. But, you know, luckily, you know, Paul has been pretty flexible with me and we've been able to get in what I've had to get in.
Right.
So, as with anything, what she always tells me is you just have to adjust. Adjust, adjust, adjust.
So some of the nutty training I've seen you do, I've seen you do these box jumps, I think they're called, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So right now, if you had to, could you jump up onto this table 2 feet just from a standing jump?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
But we're not going to have you do that.
No, we're not going to, but it's amazing to me when you see
He's
these
out of
guys
the race.
Train. If you look at some of the video stuff on how these guys train,
yes.
It is mind-blowing. It's unbelievable.
So some of the guys on our team can jump over themselves like the same height.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's crazy. Cuz you know, we train all year round with like a 45 pound or 65 pound weight vest and we do these same jumps and these guys are so explosive. I mean, incredible. They're just pretty awesome.
Did you have to cut back in terms of the explosive workout, in terms of the weight training
yes,
that you were
I
doing?
Yes, I cut it all out.
Gone.
My body type is one that I build muscle very quickly.
Yes.
But it's harder for me to lose weight.
Yes.
Which is not the greatest thing for Ironman.
No.
And so I really had to kind of focus and dial in and make sure, you know, I was really kind of eating properly and getting in the right type of nutrition. And but I did no weight training at all, actually.
Yeah. So, swim, bike, run.
And I did, you know, like the sprint workouts that Paul would have me do or we were totally different. So it's just more, to me, it was an extended interval. That's how it felt.
How
like.
Much weight have you lost since
I think I started about 170, around 170 when I first started the Ironman. And I'm probably around, hovering around between 150, 153.
Wow. That's amazing.
Which is, I think Paul wanted me around 150, 153 to start.
Apollo Ono.
Yes.
GoPro, MPA Graphics Lab. Breakfast from Kona without the amazing Poncho Man.
More than a bird, more than a plane, more than a pretty face, this city not cheer. Having breakfast with Bob and Paul and Apollo.
Apollo and Poncho Man.
Yeah.
They're going on the road now. Apollo and Poncho Man. It's a new group.